our tech team returns to answer your computer questions and get you ready for Black Friday deals. With the holidays rapidly approaching, we welcome back our tech experts to answer your questions about which laptops, tablets, e-readers, and smart devices are worth your consideration, and which are better left off of your or your kids' wish list. I'm Keith Shortall. Today we welcome back our favorite gadget lovers to update you on how the Apple Watch is working for them, whether Amazon's Alexa is a worthwhile addition to your home, and which tablet, including the giant new Apple iPad Pro, deserves your consideration. You'll also get tips on which apps will help you find the best deals on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. The main calling help desk is open. First, this news. From the MPBN studios, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Main Calling. Whether you love computers or hate them, you think smartphones are great time savers or evil anti-social inventions, you cannot escape high-tech gadgets. They're everywhere. Computers are here to stay. Today, we'll get answers to your questions about which laptop may be right for you or for your children, which tablet is most cost-effective, which router will keep your Wi-Fi humming. With me in the studio, Janet McKinney. She's Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library. Jared Maxfield is owner of Necessary Technology, and Andrew Rosenstein is founder of Techport. Thank you all for joining us today. Welcome back. And of course, we want to hear from you. What tech questions do you have for our help panel today? I'm going to go to the phones early and often today, so feel free to start dialing now. Get in early with your question. The number is 800-399-3566. Again, that's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address is talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Main Calling, or you can also post to the Main Calling Facebook page. I know you have some pet gadgets that you each want to talk about today, but I wanted to start with a general question about devices and where we are in the landscape right now. I think the last time I was hosting this program with you all, it was all about tablets and which tablet was emerging, which tablet was the next big thing. I have read recently that, not that tablets are on the out, I'm sure they'll be a major seller this year. But Andrew, what's your take on where the phone is in relation to the tablet and connection to the notebook, to the desktop, et cetera?
Well, I think that tablets are here to stay, especially now that Apple has doubled down with the iPad Pro, and the Microsoft Surface tablet is offers a lot of low-end computing functionality at a great portable price point. Just because I think that sales have leveled in a way that there's been a sort of market saturation of iPads, but I think that they're useful. Certainly, if you already have an iPad and you haven't gotten a Bluetooth keyboard, that's something that you just must have, because I think that's where the problems occur. That typing on glass is just no fun. Let's face it. So having a Bluetooth keyboard allows you to use the tablet like a computer.
Janet, do you think tablets will hold their own, or is the phone eventually going to take over?
Well, I think the tablets certainly will hold their own. What I find myself doing, it's the electricity that's killing us. So I end up using my tablet, and then, oh my gosh, I don't have any more left, so it goes into the charger, and I pick up my iPhone, and then I continue what I was doing before. So if science can solve that electricity problem for us, then it'll be a real fight between the phones and the tablets.
Yeah. So, Jared, is it about the functionality in terms of the battery size, the interface, or is it just come down to size? People want to be able to carry something in their pocket.
It's subjective, really. It's different for every person. If you go back 6 years, every night I went home and schlepped home a laptop, and you unplug it and roll it out, and then the iPad came out, and I said, well, this is the greatest thing. And then the laptop doesn't move, and the iPad gets used. And then the iPhone 6 came out, and well, this screen's, you know what, just big enough that I kind of like this a little bit better for, you know, just day-to-day email, internet, music, video, stuff like that. But, you know, everything's getting smaller and faster and more connected. You know, it's becoming more of a seamless experience with cloud. You know, you can actually start something on your phone, pick it up on your tablet, and finish it on your computer. So, you know, there's room for all of these devices. And this, the fact of the matter is, if we have this conversation in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be talking about XYZ super new thing that just came out, you know, clothes are a big emerging, you know, market, you know, literally being able to weave these things into your phone, into your clothes, control your devices and everything right from literally hidden buttons, essentially right in the fabric. So it's all becoming smaller and faster and more connected.
Yeah, and thinner, I've noticed. Also, there's this thinness thing going on. And I wondered about this because it reminds me of the parody commercial a few years ago about the razor that had 5 blades in it. And then later it became a reality. It became an actual product that had 5 blades in it. But what's with the thinness? Why does it have to be so thin to slip under a door?
I think we're on a road to we just want it to be invisible.
and it's moving that way too with flexible screens, with new technology that's coming out. You know, just picking up from Jared, I think that, you know, things are pocket devices, and people, you know, sit on their iPhones occasionally, and they get a nice little bend to them. But, you know, what if we could sit on a flexible screen and it wouldn't bend?
I often think, you know, I have a very young child, and, you know, Andrew said most of us don't like typing on glass because it's new, but we have an entire generation or two now behind us who have only typed on glass. And I'm thinking that in the future, my daughter's going to say to me someday, you know, you had to use your fingers to actually type a message, you know, and so it's
each letter had a different button.
That's crazy. I mean, wouldn't you get arthritis? I mean, when they look back on what we do as we do now, you know, but everything's getting smaller and faster and connected. And yeah, I think our ultimate goal is really that your technology is basically almost invisible and just so integrated into your life.
Yeah. I think weight has a lot to do with it, too. You know, we lug around a lot of technology. And I know I opted to get the Air version of the iPad because it was a lot lighter. So, you know, and carrying a laptop on my shoulder versus carrying an iPad on my shoulder. So I think that's another reason thin is popular.
And we can't rule out voice improvements in voice recognition technology as well. The reason these devices are getting thinner and is that we don't have to type on them as often. You know, all the Google and Apple both have incredible voice recognition technologies.
Speaking of voice recognition, you each wanted to talk about one of your favorite gadgets. And Jared, yours is Amazon Echo. This is kind of well, it's intriguing. Some people might find it a little creepy, but describe what it is and what it does.
Well, my wife found it creepy at first. I said we're bringing home a new woman. Her name is Alexa. For those who don't know, Amazon has made a product called Echo. It's been out for about a year. I finally cracked and purchased one. And long story short, it's a similar size to a small cylinder or speaker that you would put anywhere in your home. And the creepy part is Alexa's always listening.
Unlike Siri, for example, where you summon Siri.
Well, you can actually run on your phone Siri now or on your Android devices, Google Now, which essentially when you're doing with these devices now is they're always listening. So if we had a Alexa in this room right now, we could be having our conversation. She'll sit there dormantly until you say Alexa and give a command. Those commands can be if you have an Amazon Prime account, Pandora account, you know, play music. Tell me the weather. Get information. Fantasy sports people. They have a fantasy sports app, essentially. There's the weather. People running smart devices, these new connected home devices like lights, Wink devices, things like that. They're all starting to work together. You know, all of the companies are starting to kind of play together in terms of their software so that they can work together as one kind of cohesive device. So Alexa is unlike some of the things we talk about, which are fun and, you know, I could use or not. It's very actually productive and beneficial, especially for older folks in their home. You can tie it into your phone and Bluetooth. It's just, you know, it's good for an overall information device. It's for those of us who've watched, you know, Star Trek, you literally are talking, you know, to the computer, yeah. and she's answering back. And it's affordable. It's $179 standard on Amazon. I would definitely keep an eye out open, especially around Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I picked mine up recently for $149, and it's a very productive device, and it's also a lot of fun, and it's definitely in a price point that I think a lot of people can afford.
It's kind of like the clapper, but taken to the next level.
Yeah, right? Yeah. As long as you understand that, as long as you're plugged in, Big Brother's always
right. So if it's always, and I assume your dog is not named Alexa.
No.
Yeah.
If you have an Alexa in the house, you can actually change the name to Amazon. So instead of saying
okay,
so if you happen to have that, because.
But if it's always listening, can it mistake your conversation for a request and jump in, or hasn't happened?
The only time that's happened is when we're telling people, oh, you should check out Alexa. And then right. she says, what do you want? So, but no, you can you play music. On my way out the door this morning, I said, Alexa, how long is my commute to work? And she said 43 minutes. It's based on real-time traffic. It's a productive tool. My wife never has to ask me again, what will the temperature be today?
All right. That's the Amazon Echo. Janet, you've been messing around with your Apple Watch, I understand.
Yes. If I can just remember to take it off the charger in the morning. But yeah, I'm enjoying the Apple Watch, especially when I travel. It was giving me great updates from my airlines when I was experiencing flight delays. So, you know, I really like utilizing that part of it, and also Apple Pay on it. You can do Apple Pay. More and more people are accepting Apple Pay, and you know, I've used it around here at places like Panera, McDonald's, Whole Foods. So that's really interesting
as
well.
Explain why the watch format. In other words, is it the sort of thing that you
can just don't have to take the phone out of your pocket, you know? I don't want to say it's the lazy way. It's probably more convenient, but I wear it on the left hand because if you go through drive-thru at Starbucks, you can just stick your arm out the door.
Gotcha. Good tip. Good tip. Andrew, you also have an Apple Watch?
I do. I do have an Apple Watch. And being able to take phone calls on the watch is pretty convenient if you're in the car, because I find that it doesn't sound like I'm speaking inside a tunnel on a hands-free set in a car. Like Janet, it's taken a lot of pressure off the phone and integrated a lot of the apps that are on my phone to the watch. For instance, maps, turn-by-turn directions. The watch will give you a little tap on the wrist when it's time to turn left or right, or when there's a change in direction.
So when you're driving, you don't have to look at a screen and be distracted.
Exactly. So I think that all of these devices may cut down a lot on our distractibility. And, having someone speak turn-by-turn directions is one thing, but having someone tap you on the wrist and remind you to turn is certainly helpful. And
what's the cost?
The cost varies quite a bit. The entry-level watch is $399, and it moves up from there depending on the types of bands that you'd like. There's a middle range $599 Apple Watch with a stainless steel band that's very nice. There are two styles. There's a 42 millimeter sized watch, and then a smaller one that's 38 millimeters. And then you can go up to the very high end, which are accessorized with gold and all sorts of things, and they can be in the $13,000 to $15,000 range.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for Black Friday, for people who are looking at the Apple Watch, Best Buy and Target will have some deals. Love to send you local, but it's all the big box stores.
All right. Walmart is going early, I guess, on Cyber Monday on Sunday.
Yep. There you go. So we'll be buying Christmas presents in September before we know it, or our holiday presents.
Are there?
They are doing. You can't really discount it. Apple doesn't allow them, but they will give you like usually up to $150 gift card back when you purchase it. So for those who are looking to purchase that item, it's pretty awesome, and I can save a couple bucks on it.
Any other gadgets that are on the horizon that you want people to know about?
There's a great we all love the GoPro video camera, and now there's a huge improvement on that, and it's a video camera that's made by Blackmagic Design, and it's a micro cinema camera that's going to be released shortly. But you know, that's been on my radar because it offers the flexibility and the portability of all those great GoPro videos that we love on YouTube with the great cinema crispness. You could really film a feature on this little thing. It's amazing.
So two questions about that. One is, you know, being a radio guy, mm-hmm. I always worry about the audio. Do you have a sense of how good the improvements been made in the audio side for that as well? Do you know?
I think that the improvements are that you can use a boom mic if you're really or a clip-on mic, but there are some big improvements with the audio, but they all come as attachments. And many, there's in fact a new microphone made by Shure, Shure, that makes high-end microphones that actually plugs into the Lightning port of an iPad or an iPhone and provides you with that great sound that a mic would normally provide you.
And
with.
How much are those going for?
Those are pricey. Those are in the $200, $200, $300 range.
That's the GoPro or the mic.
Well, the Blackmagic cinema camera is on the higher end. It's between $1,500 and $1,999. But
still pretty cheap for a cinematic camera.
it is very cheap for that. And Apple offers these new kits that are video graphic kits that bundle a tripod, a mic, and all sorts of other goodies in one box for one price. So you can look for those too.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to hear from you. We have some questions lined up. The number again, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the Maine Association of Nonprofits, uniting and strengthening the nonprofit sector through management training and advocacy, nonprofitmaine.org. And Sweetser, helping children, adults, and families address mental health and substance abuse issues since 1828. Learn more at sweetser.org.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper with The Splendid Table. Be sure to join us for Turkey Confidential, culinary triage on the day you need it most, Thanksgiving. We're here to take your calls with some help from Jacques Pepin and Andrew Zimmern. Don't miss it. That's Turkey Confidential, live Thanksgiving Day from 8 p.m.
You can hear it on Thursday from noon to 2 here on MPBN Radio. Did you ever miss hearing the day's main news on MPBN and wish you hadn't? Perhaps you didn't hear Morning Edition or All Things and Main Things Considered. Well, we've got you covered. This Day in Maine is an MPBN podcast available online each evening by 7 that is about the day's Maine and only Maine news. Hosted by MPBN's Barbara Caritti, This Day in Maine has all of the day's Maine issues, news, and events coverage as reported by the MPBN news staff. Stream it on your computer or device, get the podcast, and listen whenever and wherever you want. It's a great, convenient way to stay up on Maine news. This Day in Maine. Find us in the iTunes store or online at mpbn.net.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, our tech team returns. With me in studio, Jared Maxfield, owner of Necessary Technology, Andrew Rosenstein, founder of TechPort, and Janet McKenney, director of library development at the Maine State Library. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566, email talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. From John, listener John writes, I am listening to your show on an Echo. Some of the times that you say Alexa, I seem to get a pause in the broadcast.
So, you just did it again.
Yeah. John, I'm sorry about that. We won't mention her name again. Let's go to Kennebunkport and to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me. I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
My question, my mother-in-law, when she comes to dinner, sits and looks at all the pictures on Facebook, and we've started a Facebook page for her, and she is interested in having some kind of a device in her home as a Christmas gift, and I'm wondering what we could buy her that would be easy for her to log into and simple enough to just use for that function. I don't see her doing email or anything like that. And my comment is, I hear you talking about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and being a small business owner, I'm cringing that you're not mentioning Small Business Saturday. Maybe you might not get the discounts you would get from the big corporations, but what you get in customer service could have a lot longer impact on your purchase.
Sure. And both of and our guests are small business owners themselves.
Small Business Saturday, we are in.
Yeah. Nobody at a big store is going to help you set the thing up.
Hey, we are anti-big box store. We don't go. And unfortunately, the only we do mention some of those products sometimes because things like the Apple Watch and things aren't sold. But no, you're absolutely right. Small Business Saturday, get out there, spend some bucks, stay home with your families on Friday and spend your money on Saturday.
Good point, Nancy. Nancy's question, though, this is really just wanting an interface to do Facebook and not much else. Is there any thoughts around that for where simplicity and I'm assuming a good size screen is the answer? Andrew?
Tab?
Well, there are a couple of devices on Amazon that will stream or pull in Facebook photos and that and things like that. One, they're basically just frames with Wi-Fi ability. There probably is a setup kind of. So it may be difficult if she doesn't have other devices in the house. That's sort of the problem. I probably would recommend that maybe an iPad is the way to go with that and set up the account. Make sure you're logged into an Apple ID that's hers alone, so she's not getting your texts and emails. Then set her up with Facebook, and she'll be able to hit one button and be logged in and see everything that she needs to see.
Yeah,
that's what we've done for our older relatives as well. And so as long as you've got that Facebook icon there and they can press it and it's already set up, everybody does pretty well. And so, a lot of it, too, is the size of the type. And so you can make the device more accessible by increasing. Apple has great accessibility to increase the text size as well.
All right, Nancy, best of luck with that. Let's go to Lou in Green. Hi, Lou.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question deals with bandwidth. I live in a rural area, and I think I've explored all of the options to get increased bandwidth. I'm dealing with something like 3 to 4 Mbps. I've explored Time Warner. I've explored Dish. I've gotten a Luxo router, a Netgear extender. My bandwidth or my connection drops out because my Mbps is, I understand, quite low. Have I explored all the options, or can you suggest something else?
You got to move.
Yeah, because you're too far from one of the stations that boosts the signal. Whether for any of you, all of the internet signals have to be boosted. So whether it's DSL or cable. And if you're too far from one of those stations, then your megabits per second rate drops down pretty dramatically.
Of course, this might change over time if industry decided that these end users were important enough to serve.
I didn't catch where he was, but I mean,
Lou, you're in Green?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have varying degrees from, southern Maine, very connected, up through the rest of the state where you definitely hit pockets where, you have slim to none. I don't know if you mentioned a hotspot, but if you do have cellular coverage up there, like an AT&T or something, and like a smartphone would work, you could attempt to essentially pick up a hotspot device from them and try to ride over cellular. And of course, you have your DirecTVs and dishes, which when you're out of the range a little bit might be, kind of your best, if not only, option.
But the hotspot?
The hotspot or, one of the satellite companies. Traditionally, if you're closer to town, it's not, your best option. But if you're out there, it might be one of your only.
Okay, a hotspot, and I get that from a phone company?
Yeah, like an AT&T. So if someone, you know, brings an iPhone to that home and data works, then a hotspot would work there. And
you're just paying for the data, though.
And you're paying for
the... You probably don't want to watch movies that way. Or...
Well, you can. I mean, a lot of people do, but it all depends on the data plan you pick up. And they will notify you. You know, always pay attention. Mm-hmm. A few of us have opened a bill and gone over your data and said, oh, wow, what happened?
Yeah, do a little research on, you know, which provider has the most robust connection in your area. And, you know, they all have maps. And so you can actually drill down to your street and all of a sudden see what was green two streets ago. You might be in a bit of a dead zone. So do a little advanced research on the internet. Maybe go to your public library if you can't get there. Your public library has a high-speed fiber connection.
Okay.
And maybe ask your neighbors.
Yeah.
That's right. a non-tech, pro-human response.
Talk to people.
Ask, you know.
Talking to
ask
people.
Them what they're up to.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
Lou,
thank you.
Best of luck. Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Steve in Orono. Hi, Steve. Steve,
hello.
Steve, hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a question about, I think I want to go this way. I've had an iPod Mini for a long time, and I've debated the iPod Mini with Wi-Fi and cellular. But I just like to get an overview of it. There isn't a lot of folks really talking about it. I mean, everybody's got it for sale, but there isn't even really any YouTube, you know.
The iPad Mini?
The videos on there, people really using it, so.
It's a good device. It's nothing. Yeah. You pay extra for the cellular if you feel you're going to be outside of, you know, Wi-Fi coverage enough that it will make a difference to you. So, for example, you know, we have clients who are realtors or, you know, people, tradesmen who are driving around home to home so they don't have a constant Wi-Fi. So, you know, you are going to spend, depending on your model, I don't know, $75 to $100 more for just to get Wi-Fi or just to get cellular. So that's really a want, not a must-have.
How big is the Mini?
Well, it's a I can't remember the exact measurements, but it's somewhere between an iPhone 6 Plus and a regular iPad. But it's basically the size of a large greeting card envelope. It does offer all the functionality of a larger iPad. And again, people who need a Wi-Fi, a cellular connection to that, you can travel and use it as a hotspot. We were talking before about that. Also, all the cell phone companies offer their own branded little boxes that you can set up as a hotspot using internet wireless from the cell company rather than getting a whole new plan.
Yeah. What's the cost?
The cost is $299, I guess, for $349, I'm sorry, for the iPad Mini, and it's a little bit more for the full-size iPad.
All right. Let's see, a question here from Seth in Augusta about virtual reality technology. Hi, Seth.
Hey, my question is in regards to the recent release of the Samsung Gear VR. I'm wondering what the thoughts are on whether or not this headset in particular is going to be viable enough to push the technology into the mainstream by this holiday season. And if not, do you think that one of the upcoming devices will actually be able to achieve that within 2016?
I don't know if it's going to be this big holiday season because we're basically here and it just came out. The other big one that's been out for a while is the Oculus Rift. So this is going to be more of a mainstream one. I'm not 100% familiar with it. I get the general concept and have seen some allusions to it. It's awesome. I mean, I saw a commercial the other day and told my wife that will be me in a few years roaming around the house with a headset on. But, you know, it's not just watching the video game on the screen anymore. It's actually being in it. And it's going to look awfully geeky, but that's where we're headed. And
so is this one of those things, though, that you kind of wait a year for? In other words, if you really want to be out front and experience the initial waves of this kind of technology, but others of us will sort of wait till it's perfected, you know?
Depends on who you are. I'm always preaching, don't be a guinea pig. I'm not an early adopter because we fix technology, so we see what happens. So early adoption is more of a, you know, some people want it, they got to have it, and there's nothing wrong with that because we need those people to test it out for the rest of us. So,
any other thoughts on virtual reality?
Well, if you want to go super low tech with virtual reality, the New York Times app now features virtual reality within the app. All you need are a pair of very low-tech cardboard glasses. It's a it provides a with headphones on and these glasses with special lenses. You can be immersed in a New York Times story, and it is pretty effective. I mean, you just have to take a break so you don't get that virtual reality motion sickness.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, it's crazy if you think about it. I mean, that's a great, you know, we're living in a future where someday this is going to be kind of the standard for people, this type of immersion. So, you know, you can look at a New York Times article and not just see that static image that we've seen a million times of, you know, some event somewhere. You can literally stand in the middle of it and do a 360 view. And, you know, that might be a type of technology that helps people kind of connect a little bit more with what's going on and, you know, be a part of it, not just look at it.
Something slightly more mundane. We had a caller who couldn't hang on, who had a router problem. But
and reboot it.
Yeah.
Or get rid of it.
So, and I've had experiences where the router was the problem. Mm-hmm. What's your take on, I guess, how much should you spend on a router to solve some of the issues that you may be having?
I think you have to, you can't go cheap on those things. That's your main, remember, it's your main connection to your internet service. So really, if you the best router, I think, on the market is the Apple AirPort Extreme because it provides such a substantial service for so many devices. It's $199. And if you wanted to go to the other type of router, you could spend a little bit less. But, you know, I think that you're going to be buying several of them to make up for the one purchase of the Apple.
It also depends on your lifestyle, because I agree with Andrew these days. I mean, it's your central hub, every piece of information. So if you're a family of four, everyone has multiple devices, you're watching Netflix and Hulu and this and that, you're going to want to on a higher end. The woman who called earlier and, you know, her mother might be at home with just now a small tablet, essentially, so she can just, for the most part, check Facebook. $50 to $75 for a standard kind of household router. You know, so it's simple. There's some simple, affordable options out there. But for most of us in families, when you've got all this stuff going back and forth, there's a lot more data traveling even than there was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So you need a good router.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Christine in Newburgh, and we'd like to hear from you as well. The number is 800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Casella, dedicated to improving air quality for all Mainers through a commitment to reduce its carbon footprint. Casella, giving resources new life. Maine Medical Center, getting people back to where they belong, home. Learn more at mainemedicalcenter.org. And United Maine Craftsmen, with its Thanksgiving Arts and Crafts Show this Friday through Sunday at the Brewer Auditorium. UnitedMaineCraftsmen.com.
As Syrians and others flee their homelands, Germany has opened its doors. But how much can one country bear?
This strikes me as an extraordinarily heavy lift.
Join us as we bring together Europe and America for a special town hall discussion next time on America Abroad.
That's coming up in just a few minutes at 1 o'clock here on MPBN Radio.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the attacks in Mali and Paris point to a broadening battlefield in a war being waged by disparate jihadist groups. Globalization, religious extremism, and jihad around the world.
That's coming up on the Diane Rehm Show this afternoon at 2 o'clock, right here on MPBN Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, answers to your tech questions. In the studio with me, Andrew Rosenstein, founder of TechPort, Jared Maxwell, owner of Necessary Technology, and Janet McKinney, director of Library Development, Maine State Library. We invite you to join the conversation here. As always, the number is 800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Christine and Newberg in a moment. But we've been talking a lot about laptops and tablets. No one sort of asked about, or are we talking much about desktops anymore, those beautiful, you know, towers that stood beneath our desk and kept our feet warm on the colder days. Are they still out there, and are they an option for some people?
Yeah, they still sell them. They're still out there. You can even get them shipped to your home. No, desktops are still a big part, especially in business environments. I would think that's the larger thing. But, you know, if you came into our store and looked at our service bench, you're going to see a lot more laptops than you see desktops. We also have people who in their home have used desktops for a long time, and it's time to replace the machine and laptop or desktop, and that's just been what they're used to and comfortable to. So like all technology and everything else, it's just
they're just not cool, though.
Right? Well, no, the iMac is really cool because you don't have the box underneath. You just have this cool, beautiful, big screen, and it makes such a statement because it's just so really nice to look at, and it takes up a lot less space, so you're not kicking that big box under your desk.
Space is an issue, yeah.
And gamers, you know, there's a lot of gamers out there.
Yeah.
And gamers buy desktops.
Yeah.
And gaming particularly is still a PC, Windows, or dominated industry.
Right.
So people who are big gamers are still picking up, you know, PC boxes.
Right. All right, let's go to Christine in Newburgh. Hi, Christine.
Hi. We currently have a Dell laptop and an iPad, and we are looking to replace our laptop. And I'm trying to figure out what the best option would be for us. We don't play video games. We don't stream movies or anything. You know, we're just looking for something that we can, you know, do a couple of, like Microsoft Excel or Word and print, but then also, you know, check email and Facebook and that type of thing.
There's a lot of standard PC-based laptops if you want to keep it affordable. We could definitely talk about Macs and Apples, but if you want to keep it, you know, under a grand, there's a lot of options. You know, I call it the basic fours. You have email, internet, music, and video. And if that's just the core stuff you're doing, I avoid the large store, like the $299 machine. I always tell people there's a huge difference between that $299 machine and the $399 machine.
And what are the differences?
Hard drive size, amount of RAM, video. Processor, video, you know, it really stinks to be on the service side. And, you know, we're all trying to, you know, keep our money in our pocket and not spend too much. And when you go out, especially when you end up, in the big box stores, one of the services, I'm sorry, you just don't get that you do get at a local place on Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday, right.
Is, you know, having somebody actually take a look at what your needs are and what makes sense for you and putting you into a machine that makes sense. I've had so many customers say about their big box experience, literally they've said, well, why did they sell this to me? Because in the long run, it doesn't make sense for what they need. And unfortunately, you might save $100, $150 up front, but when you're servicing that machine with a $150, $200 repair within 2 years, I just don't see the savings.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Anything from the Apple guy before we?
Well, I see the same thing Jared sees in that people go out and they buy a machine with a little hard drive on it. Remember that your machine, especially Apple computers, have all moved to electronic hard drives, which are smaller than the hard drive that you probably now have in your machine. It is very expensive to buy a Mac with a 500 or 1 terabyte electronic hard drive. So people tend to buy the lower end Mac that only has 128 gigabytes, for instance, the MacBook Air, but they don't realize that they have 490 gigabytes of data on their old machine. So you've got to be a little bit informed, and Small Business Saturday, you should speak to someone like myself or Jared and find out what you really need. And we can help you. We can sort of be your personal shopper, because you'll need to transfer your data And you can come back to one of us for that.
That's a free consultation.
And it's a free consultation. And I help people all day decide which machine is best for them. And they go off and buy it because we don't sell machines. And then they come back for a data transfer. And we try and stuff everything onto that machine.
Right. So, Christine, this could take a while. It could require a conversation with one of our colleagues here.
Yeah, definitely. Get someone to help you. And try to understand and think about what you're going to use. In terms of the MacBook Air, the other thing that people run into is the RAM is not right. replaceable or upgradable. Right. Yep. It's hard-coded to the motherboard. So if you buy yourself a MacBook Pro and it's got 4 gigs and a couple of years down the road you install Photoshop and you know you need more juice, you need more processing power, well, you know, under $100 you can easily bump that thing up. Right. People, lo and behold, find out on their Air that was under $1,000. They don't have those options. So it's good to kind of understand that before you get into it.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go to Ted in Waterville. Hi, Ted.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious. I have some old 3.5-inch discs, those old floppy discs that came in that hard plastic case. And I'd like to get the information off those discs and maybe put it on my PC or a laptop. And I wondered how to do that. The Maine State Library has a Sabrent, one of those readers. I tried that. I took some discs down to Augusta and plugged that into my laptop, but it gave me an error message that I had to disable something or other in order to read that disc. I'm sorry I don't have any more information than that, but I wondered if you could...
Janet, any thoughts on that?
Actually, no. You know, I think you're talking about we have like a USB disk reader that you can attach to a computer and try to read those disks in. So my guess is how old they are versus the age of that.
There's two things. I mean, you know, that's something we could always help with. We help people with those every once in a while. We have the – essentially what you need is a USB reader. I mean, you can buy them on – online or at a local store if they carry it, you know, fairly inexpensively. That's not really probably your larger issue. Potentially, those discs do degrade and fail over time. And that's a good lesson in terms of everything when people are storing these days. Andrew made a great point last time we were on about, you know, USB drives. They're not meant for long-term storage. And I've definitely hijacked that and used it a lot recently because it is right. We know if you an external hard drive these days costs you $60, $70, $80 as opposed to a $20, $30 USB drive. But they're not meant for long-term storage. CDs, DVDs aren't great these days. And as you go back to those 3.5-inch floppy disks, again, they can fail over time.
Yeah, same happened with audio tape.
It's
the same thing. And what Jared's saying about USB drives is they contain chips that degrade that over time. The electrons in that memory start to just sort of flake off, the same way that audio tape, the magnetic coating, would sort of flake off.
So, if Ted brought this to a place, they would be able to determine whether it's the...
We can at least plug it in and tell you if there's something there. Yeah. And if there is, it's a very typically easy... grab the data because those things held next to nothing compared to what we have these days.
Right.
It's just if you plug it in, you either essentially see it or you don't.
Right. All right, Ted, best of luck. From Bob in Orono, could you talk about the Microsoft Surface Pro 4? We're considering one to replace dated PC and we'll do light Word and Excel work, photo management, internet, etc., and want printing capability.
Yeah, those are amazing devices because you can run Microsoft Word directly on the tablet. And that for a lot of people, that makes a huge difference. I think that with a keyboard and mouse setup, maybe both Bluetooth capable, you've got a little nice little computer right there.
My Surface Pro clients couldn't be happier. There's not a lot of times where we run out and go, hey, buy Microsoft. They do everything right because they screw up most everything and, you know, make something that was great harder. But the Surface Pro, their new Surface lines have been great, especially for people in the realty business, people who travel around a lot, take a lot of photos and videos and have documents signed. It's not only functional, but it's a pretty cool device.
In my travels recently, I've seen like 5 of them in airports. And people seem to be really, really happy with them.
We have a question from Greg who asks, which cell providers have unlocked the FM chips in mobile devices that allows them to be used as a radio? This, of course, has been of interest to us. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. Devices radio?
No. I'm most familiar with using my phone to stream from an app, but stream radio, and I do that all the time. There's a great public radio app that you can stream from stations all over the country.
I did not prompt him to say this, by the way.
Yeah, I do listen to it every day, actually, because there are different, I listen to New York Public Radio or Boston Public Radio. And I don't know much about the unlocking the chip, but I think that probably using an app is the best bet, because my guess is that the more signals you have coming into that phone, whether it's FM radio, and then you've got your cell signal, and then you have Bluetooth, something is going to get lost in that.
And of course, you can just go to
your chromosomes.
Yeah,
you can stream by going to mpbn.net and getting your own connection.
I only listen to local public radio.
Yes, thank you.
Right. On air public radio,
especially on Saturdays.
Yes. Let's go to Ann and Addison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. You almost answered my question. I'm a dinosaur. I used to remember talk radio, and I would like to not have anything other than picking up, for example, different churches all over the country, if not the world. And I would also like to listen to BBC from England. I want nothing else, no sports, no games, nothing.
Yeah. Again,
I mean, I would Google.
Got to be an app.
There must be an app.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure BBC would have something. I would assume they would have something. And in terms of different churches and congregations, people are broadcasting. Periscope from Twitter is a huge new app that you can broadcast anything, anytime, anywhere. And I know for a fact that there are churches and congregations around the country that have already started to use that.
All right, let's go. Let's see. Let's go to Sam in Harpswell. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Yeah, I've got this cool little tiny house, like you see in the news these days, parked about 200 feet from my daughter's house, and I want to get internet reception in it. And I've tried a new router. I tried one of those extenders or something. You plug something in her house and plug it in the computer on the same electric circuit.
Okay.
Briefly.
Yeah, Sam, I'm gonna end you, and we're gonna real quick answer because we're out of time.
You either need a super powerful router if you've tried those things, or you're gonna have to run a line.
Right.
You've tried the things we'd recommend.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So, or run a line.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned.
And he mentioned the power line, which runs through electricity, which is a great device. But if it didn't work, you may need to literally run a line or get a very powerful router, which literally running the line might be a better deal.
And if you're out there listening and you didn't get your question answered, you can always go right to Andrew or Jared or Janet. I'm sure we'll answer your questions as well. Thank you guys for being here again today. Really interesting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Don't forget Small
Business Saturday. Janet McKinney, Director of Library Development for Maine State Library. Andrew Rosenstein, founder of TechPort. And Jared Maxfield is owner of Necessary Technology. Nikki Shields ran the board today, and you can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our podcast by visiting mainecalling.net. The executive producer of Maine Calling is Jonathan Smith. Tomorrow on the program, join host Jennifer Rooks to learn about artificial intelligence. What is it, how it's incorporated into our daily lives, and whether the robots will one day take over. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.